Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I'm joined by my husband and co-host.
The Kev on Stage.
And we're going to do a listener's question, listener's bag type episode. I posted on my Instagram about you guys asking us questions, and y'all submitted them. So we're just going to go through and answer some of them. I'm going to pull this a little bit closer.
Melissa is cold. It is freezing in this office. Besides the fact, can they see that? The temperature thing, there's a temperature gauge back there. It doesn't work. The temperature in this office is whatever it wants to be that day. We'd be changing it and be like, shut up. This is the temperature, so we'd be quiet.
I'm actually going to go on my Instagram.
Is this a separate episode?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so this is one that I have on here. How do you create substantial friendships as adults? This is from Nyer, N-Y-R-E underscore Chester. How do you create substantial friendships as adults? I actually think this is a hard question because I think creating friendships as adults is probably one of the hardest things to do. Because as kids, obviously, you're going to see each other at school. You're going to, you know, have recess together. Like, there's this kind of forced time. But if you're not necessarily friends with the people that you work with, where, again, you kind of had that forced time for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, or whatever your work schedule is, it's much harder to create friendships that are as deep-rooted as those friendships that you've established when you were in high school or college or elementary school. They just look differently.
I agree. I was realizing the other day that most of my friendships post-college were like people I worked with. Mm-hmm. Then you stop working with them and you really don't, you know, in my case, don't necessarily remain friends like that. You know, like, you know, my boy John Scarlett, I went to lunch with him every day mm-hmm. for like years. And then when I stopped working at All Def, we, you know, he works his job, I do my thing. We still chop it up, but we don't like hang out nearly as much. So, and then you kind of just like get settled into your friends. You know, we just got like Mel and Greg, Josh, and then it just be like, okay, bye. Mm-hmm. You know, you have like in acquaintances, people you see at parties and stuff. But, you know, friends, you'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't know about them.
Yeah.
You know, we're almost 40.
I know.
I already had enough friends for a lifetime.
Yeah, but I think the trouble is that adulthood can start to feel very lonely, especially like for us, we've uprooted ourselves from, you know, the roots of friendships that were, you know, the word that she's using is substantial, meaning there were friends that we've had for, my nails are a mess, if you guys can see that. But the friends that we've had from like high school or into college or whatever. And when you move, it's much harder to establish those friendships. And I think that's at, like, the base of the question is establishing those bonds. People were made for connections. Shout out to the purpose-driven life. But people were made for connection. We thrive off connection. And when you don't feel those connections, it can feel very like isolating.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, over the last couple of months, we've been hanging out with Danny and Angel and Marcus. You'd be like, man, these are the
them. Yeah,
you know, they both have kids our age, and I think that's another thing. You know, JoJo was saying this on his podcast. He was like, when you guys go over to Danny's house, he was like, their kids just become our friends because we're over there, they're over there, you know. So, but other than that, you only kind of see the parents from the soccer team and in each other and your family member. But before we Greg and Mel moved here, it was just me and you and the boys, you know. So it is more difficult than I imagine. I think also, like you were talking about, this is one of the things about, I'd be curious to see how it is for people who've lived in the same city for a long time. But we're military kids, so we don't have the luxury of carrying a lot of friends through our whole adult life. You know, we were moving every 3 or 4 years, or they were moving every 3 or 4 years, so your friends were like 3 years tops. So, like, Isaiah and Joe have friends that they've known for, Isaiah's in ninth grade.
Yeah.
Since he was in second grade, first, second grade. And Joe as well. I don't have that same, I don't have that same childhood. So, and I guess there's a whole, like, reasons and seasons thing, too. you know, which has been like, you know, like even Ant, you know, from the Playmakers. I talked about this an episode or two ago. And we still chop it up, but not nearly as much because we were also working together.
Right.
You know? So there's more, I guess that working together gives you more of a reason to connect, even right. if you wouldn't have. And I guess you still check up on your people, but you don't like hang out as yeah. much. But the crazy thing is our friends from like back in Washington, whenever we see them, it's like no time has passed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when Keita came.
Well, and I think that's the part that makes it like more of a friendship, I guess, is that it's not a relationship or a friendship that's based on work.
Yeah.
And so those relationships are the ones that they can start to feel like superficial because they're not deeply rooted in mm-hmm. something. So that if the job ends or if, you know, whatever ends, then that automatically means your friendship ends. It's like when I think about, you know, all the people that I worked with before my job closed down. And I was always like, listen, we ain't friends. We work friends. Okay. Like there's a difference. I see you guys Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. I see it. Okay. there were people that I genuinely liked and cared about and that kind of thing. But as soon as the job ends, I mean, maybe we text every now and then like, happy birthday, girl, whatever. But it's nothing beyond that because I also understood what it was. But then there's those friendships that maybe start as work relationships and then they extend beyond that. And right. those are the true friendships. And I think that's the part that's, it's just harder. The point is we don't have the answer because it is a lot harder to navigate those type of relationships as an adult. Because again, when you're friends initially at school, ain't nothing there but friendship.
Right.
And then as you get older, those things, you know, become more guarded. Now you're hurt. You got trust issues. You're carrying all this baggage that you didn't have when you were in third grade. And so it's just a lot harder.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Anything else you want to add?
No.
All right. Next question from Tiffany.mg. Do you approach religion differently with your sons in comparison to how you were raised?
Whew. Man.
The short answer is yes.
Honestly, the reason that's a long answer, religion and church has changed as well.
Uh-huh.
What I mean by that is when I was growing up, it was not unreasonable to go to church 4 or 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Church on Sunday, started at Sunday school like 7:30. We had breakfast, lunch at church a lot of times. Sunday morning or Sunday school, review, Sunday morning service. Break, night service. And we came back to church on Tuesday for evangelistical service, Thursday for Bible study or Wednesday, I can't remember, Friday for choir rehearsal for adults, Saturday morning for choir rehearsal for kids. Monday was the only day we routinely didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was revivals and conventions and councils. So our vacation was church. Our church in L.A., has church on Sunday morning.
And that's it.
And that's it. No night service. There wasn't Bible study for a long time. There's no councils or conventions or anything like that. So even if we went to every single service that the church offered, like we did when we were kids, it was like 5 to 1.
Yeah.
You know,
it just church. Looks differently.
It looks different. When I was a kid also, and I know yours is a little different with military churches, a lot of times what the pastor said was the be-all, end-all for everything.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he said you shouldn't go to movies, we didn't go to movies. And then if you've deviated from that, it was like, all right, now listen, we ain't really telling people.
It was the same for me.
Yeah, okay. So I feel like as I've gotten older, and I don't know if that's religion change or whatever, but as I've gotten older and learned the Bible for myself, a lot of things that I was taught or, you know, as a kid, we've deviated from, and we try to teach our kids how we think now and not just regurgitate what we thought then. The problem with that is, and the world has changed a lot as well. So that balance is a little delicate of what you're teaching, because you're kind of teaching them as you're learning.
Right. I think the other thing is, before we move on, I just want to say really quickly, Joshua is clearly buying something behind the camera, and it's cracking me up having him pull out his credit card because it's like you knew a number but maybe forgot something, so you just need to verify. Oh, okay, got it. Then put it, but it wasn't long enough where he was like typing in all the numbers going back and forth. It was like he knew enough. I knew it. It was just really funny watching it in real time because it's stuff that I do all the time. I'm like, what's the CCV code again? It was just really funny.
That happens to me too. And as soon as you pull your credit card out, you're like, I know this.
That is it.
It's 898. I never know if it's 898 or 889.
That happens to me all the time. So funny.
That's not my real credit card number, guys. Even if it was, there's only three numbers. I'm just saying.
So anyway, I was going to say that one of the main differences for me is that I feel like as a kid, religion was very fear-based, meaning it was all about not going to hell and not really about falling in love with Jesus.
Falling in love Jesus.
Yeah, but when you don't fall in love with Jesus, you just don't want to go to hell. That's you know, true. And so it's a very different approach. Yeah, it's very different. And so it's not really about relationship. It's all about like what you can't do. And you don't even always get the reasons why. It's just a whole list of thou shall not. And so a lot of this is more about establishing, whether it's very like heavy handed, overt, like Christian conversations. It really is about developing a moral compass in the boys and allowing them to hear their own intuition and what they think, because a lot of times for us, you think of that as the Holy Ghost, as the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you. And so making sure that you're fully in tune and in tune with that small still voice within yourself, telling you what's right, telling you what's wrong, having these very open-ended conversations that are, you know, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? And kind of guiding them through, well, the Bible says this, and this is what mommy and daddy thinks. And, you know, maybe this is what your grandparents think. And these are the reasons why we're at this position now. So I think that's one of the biggest differences in approach with the boys than it was. Although, again, the hardest part about that is sometimes I feel like a lot of this new age parenting is a lot of options and choices. And we didn't have a lot of options or a lot of choices as kids. It was just like, this is what you gonna do because I said so.
In life, period, the not end. Just church.
Yeah. And so I struggle with that in some ways because I'm just like, am I giving you guys, I don't want to say freedom because I know the boys do have boundaries and things they have to do. But at the same time, it's like, am I giving you too much? Mm-hmm. Should I just be telling you this is what you need to do and shut up and listen?
You don't want to do that, but like raising
You don't want to do that, but also you want to do that.
Yeah. Raising well-balanced children who think for themselves and question things means they question you.
Right.
And you'd be like, but also, yes, but also don't disrespect me. And I don't think I found the balance of that yet.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a break to hear a word from Albert. If you want to get a handle on your money, but you feel overwhelmed, don't stress. Just download Albert. Let me tell you, I actually have Albert on my app, and they basically take a portion of what I spend and direct it to a savings account. And I get emails like, hey, girl, you save X amount of dollars. And I just feel like that deserves a round of applause.
Round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So you're saving and shopping and, I'm sorry, spending and saving at the same time.
Yes, yes. One of the things that I appreciate the most about Albert, and you can kind of tell just in the name, Albert's a human name, not just like a random company name, but Albert gives you the opportunity to work with real human, actual, with blood through their veins, people, real financial advisors. They message you anytime through the app, and it just gives you a nice personal touch. It makes you feel like, you know, I'm doing things with my life because I have a financial advisor, and it's not just an automated algorithm. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, you know, don't at me. I have my stuff together. You can effortlessly build your savings account for a rainy day or the next Instagram-worthy trip. Again, that's what I'm doing for the Bald and the Beautiful. We have plans to go to Turks and Caicos, to go to where else we want to go?
Maldives.
Mexico, the Maldives. We want to go to all these places. And Albert is giving me a way to, you know, stash some money aside in the most effortless way. And then when I need to pull it, you know, I could do those things. Automated savings. Albert tracks your income and spending throughout the week to find any money that you can safely save without disrupting your cash flow. Install Albert from the App Store or Google Play today to find your happy balance. And let's not forget that Christmas, the holiday season is coming up, and we can all use some extra cash on the side to ensure that we have the Christmas that we want to have. And this is a great way to start saving, putting some money aside so you have that. And you'll get a bonus of up to $40 when you start your annual subscription to Albert Genius. All you have to do is install the Albert app from the App Store. Do that today or Google Play, and you can get a bonus of up to $40 when you start your annual subscription to Albert Genius. Next question from Mom of Two, Wife of One. Been thinking a lot about the idea of creative branding. Nope. Been thinking a lot about the idea of branding yourself. And my question is creating a brand for yourself reserved exclusively for people in the creative space? My immediate, okay, and Alexis C13 second to this question. And my immediate response is absolutely not. I think that anyone in business should be brand. You should have a brand. You should have some personal brand that is not reserved just solely for creative people.
You're not even creative.
No, I'm not. And I have a brand, so there you go.
I think even outside of people as big as us on social media, you can have a brand. It's kind of just like what you're known for.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, even when I wasn't Kev on stage and big on Facebook, they were like, man, Kev is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've been taking my shirt off and drawing on myself long before I had the Kev on stage name. You know, I had a brand in high school. You know, Kev was a funny dude, was mediocrely good at sports. You know what I mean? So I think, to answer your question, no, I don't think it's reserved for people in the creative space. You can just be like, man, this person's a great artist, takes great photographs. There's a lot of different people.
To the Joshua brand.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of people who don't have huge social medias who have a brand.
Yeah.
The thing that gets weird when you're like, well, my brand won't allow me. It's like, but you're small. It's like when you act like you have like a Disney type brand or something like that. But no, I think your brand is just in this arena, a lot of times it's just an extension of your personality.
Yeah. And honestly, I think brand really is more about your messaging. It's what you're known for. Yeah. It is your voice. It is your tone. It is your aesthetic. I think all of those things combine equal your brand.
Yeah.
And so regardless whether you're doing something creative or if you are, I can't even think, babysitting or like, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, you want to have a presence and a brand that shows, again, your voice, what you're known for, your creativity, your tone, your whatever it is should all be encapsulated in your brand. As in fact, when I was going through and kind of doing my rebrand, it was so funny. People were like, well, what are you selling? Girl, me. Like, I know I have like notebooks and, you know, stationery and that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, my brand is me. It's not, I am the product. And so my rebranding was making sure that everything that I'm posting on social media is in line with what I want to have represented. And so even when I did like my, I was doing like a brand audit, so to speak, my own version, like, you know, I just kind of Googled things.
What's a brand audit?
I'm about to tell you. And so what they tell you to do is go through your Instagram and pick any like three or four rows, stop there. And does it speak to what your brand is?
Let me check.
Okay, so check.
On yours or mine?
Well, you should do yours, shouldn't you? Isn't that what you wanted to do?
I'm going to scroll way back. I'm going to scroll back five scrolls.
I'm going to scroll back as well.
Okay, here we go. There's me with a little kid falling asleep on my arm. Remember that video?
Mm-hmm.
There's me, a picture of a guy getting a man unit. There's a promo clip of Keep Your Distance. There's a video, an old video of me with baby.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Kev on Stage content. There's Keep Your Distance. There's me proclaiming my love for Raisin Bran Crunch. Clip of me and JoJo. Clip of Gary O. Union reposting JoJo. Me when I put, when you marked my head up to make fun of that video. Me and JoJo again. Nicole Bihari, Dear Kev, and promo of the comedy show. So I feel like these 12 posts are a combination of me being funny, me proclaiming my like for something that a lot of people don't like, shouting out another creator, about to do something crazy, and promoting.
I think that's pretty good.
That's pretty accurate.
Mine, it's kind of hard to do now because I've archived like a lot of my posts in this rebranding thing. I was like, yeah, I don't want this on here. 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 But before, I would have like a lot of posts from like my Facebook that I would just repost, which there's nothing wrong with that. But it became so much on my feed that, and I never really take selfies. I'm not really a picture person like that, that it would take up a lot of like the real estate on my Instagram, that I would have like a lot of memes. I would have a lot of repos. I would have a lot of just funny things, just a lot of randomness. And so with this rebrand, like now there's more pictures of me showing fashion. There's more, I'm even posting the skits, which at first I was like, I don't know if I want to do that, but I don't want to be so like rigid in what I'm my feed looks like, but at the same time I want to be careful about what I'm posting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Are you finding difficulty with what to post that isn't something that you strategically shot for posting?
No. Well, yes and no, but I think part of it is that like today I was like, oh, I need to get dressed and like just post, you know, have Joshua take a picture, and then my hair wasn't done. So I was like, well, that's not gonna happen. But I think I just need to do better about, this is a really good day. This is a cute outfit. This is a cute hairstyle. Like, let me take a picture. And then you just post that. But if I find, if it's a, because I'm also known for like my quotes, you know what I mean? And so that's actually something that I'm working on, is making sure that I am still including my quotes, but it's not a repost from someone else. It's something that's branded.
Yeah.
Because it's something that I said.
Got it. Are you going to do that with your picture only, or sometimes just image quote?
It'll be a combination of whatever I decide. Anything else? Did we answer that question?
I think so.
All right. This question is from, I don't know. Nikki. Larios and Nikki. I don't know, girl. Your thing says J. Nicole, so that's what we're going to go with. The question is, now that some time has passed, do you think that you will do the Love Hour conference again? Girl, the question is, now that some time has passed, how are you feeling about the Love Hour conference? Will you do it again? That's basically what I said. I kind of paraphrased. I don't know. This pandemic has me scared. I ain't gonna lie to you. The pandemic has me really afraid to do anything, any in-person events. Their in-person events are very expensive. Doing them online is far more cost-effective. It's cheaper. It's easier. I mean, of course, you know, doing things online, there's also the, you know, you're dealing with technology, and that could be, you know, off and on and do what it wants to do. But I'm not paying for all of my speakers to fly. I'm not paying for all of my speakers to stay in a hotel. I'm not giving them a stipend for food. Like, those type of things add up. And as a result, that's a cost that I have to pass down to my audience. And that's when things just become like really very expensive. So with all of that said, if I decided to do the Love Hour conference again, I think it would probably be smaller, and that it would just be like a VIP experience. And it would just be a vow renewal service, a few speakers, 1 or 2 days, and get up on out of here. Like, it would be something like that, much more intimate. With all of that said, considering everything that I had to go through with the Love Hour conference to like get it off during the planning of this pandemic, I think it went as well as it could have gone. There are obviously things I wish could have gone better, but given the year of 2020, I think it went as well as it seriously could have gone.
Fair.
And the problems that we experience, this is him telling us he doesn't like this, and now he's on his second one in 5 minutes. There are also companies that are much, I mean, legitimate, like Fortune 500 companies that were hosting conferences using Excel events and all of these other platforms, and they experienced some of the exact same problems. There are people, yes, there are people that attended ours and then was like, Melissa, honestly, you should really be okay. Because I was like, you know, kind of bummed that it went the way it did. And they're like, honestly, you should feel okay, because at least you guys were able to pivot. These companies are like, girl, it's over. We don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to try to figure it out tomorrow.
Really?
Yes. So the fact that we were able to pivot like that, you know, it really is something to be proud of. I just realized that I'm obviously a lot harder on myself than other people, and it's just part of who I am.
That's very true.
Okay, next question. Lil Miss Hayward, how would you tell someone to approach dating and marriage when they have not seen healthy successful marriages modeled firsthand. Hello?
I never thought about somebody not having any models. Here's what I would say. Celebrities, that what you see a lot of times, I want to say it's curated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But even real life marriages are a lot of times curated. Mm-hmm. There were some couples that I admired in our old churches, and then I found out some stuff that I was like, oh. Like, they weren't doing it on social media, but there was a presented version of their relationship, and then there was an accurate version of your relationship. Sure. So, that's a tough question to answer, because I feel like so much of it is, like, the relationship, Melissa and I have, there's no one-to-one, that's put on you?
No, my arm hurts.
Oh. There's no one-to-one model that we built our relationship on. That's actually one of the mistakes I was making early in our marriage, was trying to be like, okay, we should do this like these people, and this like these people, and this like these people. And after a couple of times, Melissa saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to try and, you know, duplicate what works for them. I feel like we built a relationship that works for us and is still a work in progress. One of the things that I'm realizing more and more, we saw somebody say this recently. I don't remember who it was. But they were saying that if you've been married 20, 30, 40 years, you've been married to four different people. Mm-hmm. And big swings and changes are in personality, having kids, moving, quitting your job and going to an entrepreneurship, Melissa 2.0, 3.0, those have an effect on our relationship. I've got to adjust to that, and she has to adjust to me as well. I haven't had any campaigns where it's been like, what's the word? Like a calculated this, but there, I've been affected by job loss, growth, professional success, failure as well. So it's a kind of a constant like dance of giving a little, learning more, watching, reacting, things like that. So in some ways, I don't think you can even safely build your marriage on the foundation of someone else, but I think you can take lessons from people and apply those lessons to you in the way that seems fit.
I also think that a healthy relationship is two healthy people. So the only way to establish that is to do the self-work first on you. And that involves, you know, learning yourself, knowing your triggers, your turn-ons, your turn-offs, like all of those things. And recognizing that those things change over time. Like what triggers me today is not what triggered me years ago. And so learning those things, I think, is part of, you know, bringing your whole self and your best self, a self that you are personally in tune with, that's when you have the most successful and the healthiest of relationships, is when you yourself are healthy, and that's what you're bringing forward into the relationship.
You owe it to yourself and to your partner to be your, and to your children if you have any, and to your pets and plants, you know, to be the best version of you possible. So for me, that means therapy and book reading and podcast consumption. Even the Love Hour podcast has been helpful to me in a lot of ways. But even before that, or in the midst of that, listening to other podcasts and then like applying that, or asking Melissa, hey, how does this affect you? Have I done things like that? And then having to sit with the truth of those answers.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not always easy to hear. Oh, yes, you've done this and it hurt me. And then you'd be like,
okay, thank you.
And then you'd be like, well, I'm not going to watch no more shows or no podcasts because I don't want to realize that.
Oh, it's hard work. But
it's hard work.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, you have to do the work. Paper Bag BR says, your husband speaks of how creative you are all the time. What are your apprehensions about accepting your gifts, if you have any? So obviously, I picked this question, so don't look at me like that.
I'm actually really surprised you picked this question.
Because I...
Considering what me and Josh always tell you.
I know, which is why I wanted to bring it up. So I was talking to Joshua a little bit off camera about me having Steven back on the podcast and talking about imposter syndrome a little bit more. Because obviously, but quite literally yesterday, and I actually started to... DM Steven being like, yo, so listen, like yesterday out loud, I said to myself, yo, girl, like, I think you struggle from imposter syndrome, like literally a conversation I was having with myself out loud. And it's the idea that Imposter syndrome is more than just, oh my God, I have so many thoughts. Okay. Imposter syndrome is more than just feeling like you don't belong in the room. True imposter syndrome is chalking everything up to some outside factor other than yourself.
Good or bad?
I would feel like it would be more good than bad. What do you mean good or bad?
Like if you make a mistake, that's because I'm not supposed to be here. But if something goes well, it's like,
oh, I guess so. Yeah. Well, yeah. Although if you did something bad, child, maybe you ain't supposed to be there. I think true, that might be called something else. I don't know. But I think true imposter syndrome is when you're in rooms that you do deserve to be in and you've decided you're in them because of luck.
Sound familiar, Joshua?
So I think that is part of it. It's this idea that, you know, even as I go through the conversations of like creativity and the arguments of creativity, thinking that, well, it can't be creative because this isn't what creativity is.
We've had this conversation so many times and I still don't understand what your definition of creative is and why it's so clear in other people, but not clear in yourself.
So, and that's, I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at is that, you know, finding a way to define creativity in a way that excludes me.
Whoa!
That would be imposter syndrome.
Now, that, my friend, makes sense. That makes sense. Because even, and I'm just going to say this, the sketches for Keep Your Distance, Angel's a trained actress, Jonae and them taking classes, Melissa's not trained. You would not know that Melissa doesn't act. Of all the sketches that we've done, you fit in with, I've been telling the people this forever. Melissa always downplays it. But even when we did plays back then, I'd be like, Melissa can act. She filled in for actresses for us all the time. So what she would tell herself is like, I'm just doing this because we ain't got nobody. But that didn't mean you sucked.
Right.
And in the sketches, like stuff you added wasn't in there. Mm-hmm. Like the Set It Off sketch. When Shantae goes, I should play Jada. And Melissa goes, oh. Like, because Melissa, we had just established she was playing Jada. That was so funny to me.
Yeah.
And I didn't give, nobody told you to say that. Mm-hmm. You just did that. So anyway, I'm talking a lot, but what you just said makes the most sense. Now I feel like I can't mess with you about it because you've been trying to define creativity in a way that excludes you because of that imposter.
Yeah. So that's what I...
Because it's very obvious to everyone around you literally... No, I just want to say something.
Go ahead.
Creatively produce the podcast, have ideas for brand photo shoots, come up with doggone shot boards, Joshua, then we'll edit a vlog herself or send a vlog to an editor and then re-edit to make sure and then perform as talent and be funny on your own. Like, if you're not creative, then what am I? Because we're doing the same thing. I'm just goofy.
What is a creative? Relating everybody to original ideas, imagination. Okay, this is the other thing, okay? And then we're going to move on. Huh?
The word original, right? This whole dog on podcast is her original idea.
It's not only that. It's imagination as well. I know, just let it be and stop. Just listen to me.
It is so hard.
I need support and not this.
Okay. How can I support you when I disagree with every word you're about to say?
The idea, I never was like a daydreamer. I never considered myself like, even cartoons as a kid, like I was like, this is the dumbest. Like, why do people...
You didn't like cartoons?
No. I watched I didn't watch cartoons. Wow. I watched like the Flintstones, but it was because.
What is this ridiculous? They didn't live with dinosaurs.
I know. My mom called me and still calls me Pebbles. And my cousin is, they don't even call him Bam Bam anymore. But my mom still calls me Pebbles to this day. And so I always felt like this strange connection to the Flintstones. Like I should watch it because my nickname was Pebbles and, you know, the Pebbles on the show. But like I really didn't watch, like I would watch live action stuff. But like Animaniacs, Looney Tunes. I was never that kid, child, clearly, okay?
I'm going to be reading the classifieds. The Dow Jones is down 40 points.
I just really never considered. And so I feel like I just kind of lumped all of that in. And if that's something that I feel like I was never a part of, then how could I identify with it later? I don't know if I'm making sense, but like in this weird... way I've been able to, you know, self-identify as other when it comes to creativity. And so to now be in the space and be, you know, deemed a creative or things that I'm doing as creative, it's a foreign concept.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Especially like I was talking to Greg about this. He was saying this industry is a little more tough for him because he's like, I didn't plan to do this.
Same.
I was going to be 9 to 5 and do my 9 to 5. Same. I didn't plan on being none of this stuff. So I really got to get my wits about me. And for me, I was like, I'm going to be doing something.
And that's what I mean by othering yourself to creativity.
So it's doing that makes the most sense to me.
And so it's a whole, I don't know, it's a whole process of like.
Do you feel like something will happen if you accept that you're a creative?
I'm not quite sure. You know, I feel like I'm such a word person as well that I'm like, no, this is the definition and I'm not fitting. And then it's like,
opinion! Yeah. That's the second time I've used that today, but it fit both times.
Yes. And so it just kind of feels like I don't understand why people are forcing this upon me when it's so clear.
Because I think people, me, Joshua, your fans, if you didn't do any of this stuff, I probably wouldn't argue with you. You know what I mean? Like if you're just working back at your job and you just were never doing any of this, I wouldn't argue with you. But you are set, the photo shoot you set up for your brand thing, the fact that they have a shot board or that's both literally the shots that you want, like style of picture, and mood board by fashion, that is a creative director's job.
Yeah.
You've done something that a creative person, you could hire someone to say, create that for me, but did you do that?
No, so you this is another thing about going back to exposure is, you know, having a very narrow view of what this means and not understanding that, oh, this could be someone's job and they would consider themselves a creative. I don't know that because I was never a creative. I never worked in this field. So you don't understand that, like, this is an aspect of creativity. It's just like, this is what I did at my 9 to 5. So how could it be creative?
I get that. But even your 9 to 5 working in the aerospace industry, there's creatives there. Engineers, drawings, they're creating airplane dynamics. That's creative.
I would argue it's the other side of your brain. But regardless, you know, it's to a spec. So I don't know. I feel like that's like math. And so that's what I'm saying. I'm like, listen, okay? I'm a literal person. Words have meanings and meanings have meanings. So I just feel like things are so different and like I can just categorize them differently. And part of it is just, you know, maybe not being so rigid. I don't know. The point is that I'm about to bring Stevie back on the podcast. Steven,
excluding yourself out makes the most sense. It's the most clear why you don't want to identify with creative. Because if I am that is wrong. That is for creative people. That is the Kanyes, the Kevs, the singers, the fashion designers, whatever. Like, you literally created the all the things logo for the shirt. But then because the graphic designer goes in, creates your vision, you feel like they're creative, but without your direction, they have nothing to create from.
Right. If you're struggling with all of your creativity and you need to take a class to give yourself a spark, Skillshare. What is Skillshare? Do you know what they are? It's an online learning community with thousands of classes for creative and curious people. I consider myself a creative, curious person, I guess, as of today. But regardless, even if you don't consider yourself creative or curious, it is a platform for learners. That's what it is. If you are on anything from home decor to classes, again, to spark your creativity, from housing designs to picture photography to what were you taking one on?
Graphic design.
Graphic design. Thank you. That's the exact word I was struggling to get. Graphic design. It is a platform for people to learn. They have all of these individual classes and tutorials almost to teach you and really inspire you to do the things that you're interested in doing. Most of the classes are under 60 minutes with short lessons to fit any schedule. Honestly, I've taken some 15 to 20 minute classes, up to 30 minutes. Those are kind of my cup of tea. Give me 30 and lower. But they pack the classes with such rich information that you're bound to get something out of it. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes, because everyone these days is offering some type of masterclass, okay? Like, it's all over the interwebs, all over Instagram. There's some type of masterclass. This is a great way to get all of those areas of expertise all on one platform. The annual prescription is less than $10 a month. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/LH. And the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Be the first 1,000 to sign up at Skillshare.com/LH. Thank you so much, Skillshare, for being a sponsor of this episode. All right, we also want to tell you about ShipStation.
Man, we got new merch right here.
I'm wearing Joey's merch, too.
Joe merch, everything is house. Here's the thing. We got Stage Crew merch just came in. And listen, without ShipStation, we would be in a world of hurt. In years past, we had no doggone rhyme or reason way to do shipping. We had stuff on Etsy and Shopify and Pinterest and all these different sites, and you'd have to go individually to each one, click, get these things, put them all together. ShipStation said, forget all that. We're gonna streamline your sales and put all your orders from all these different sites, because, you know, some sites sell stuff better. Like, yeah. Etsy's more for crafty stuff, crafty type things. Shopify's more for actual t-shirts, but, you know, you sell planners and stuff and also t-shirts. Yeah. So sometimes you got to have them on those different sites so that they'll be have a better chance for selling. But you don't want to have to go to each individual site to do it. And face it, guys, whether you're a regular person or Amazon, everyone expects Amazon-type speed.
They sure do.
And ShipStation helps with that. And it also ships with all the big boys, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, and even international. We got a lot of friends, especially in the UK.
Across the pond.
And they'll pay extra for shipping, but they want their stuff in a reasonable amount of time. And ShipStation has helped us with all of that.
Right now, Love Hour listeners need to be gearing up for
Black Friday.
Okay, be ordering your merch right now. You can try ShipStation for free for 60 days when you use offer code LOVE.
LOVE.
Make sure your business is ready to meet the demands of a massive online shopping season. Listen, online shopping this year, specifically with coronavirus,
Cronova.
This year, specifically, you want to make sure, if you're taking the leap, get your merch, get it together now. I need to be doing my devotional right now. Get all of that stuff together so that way when the holiday season comes, you are squared away. You can do that with ShipStation. Get started at ShipStation.com. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in LOVE.
LOVE.
That's ShipStation.com. Enter the offer code LOVE.
LOVE.
ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. All right, here's a great question. This question comes from Channon Cooper. What was the biggest lesson you got from The Big Leap, and why, and how can I be in the book club? How can you be in the book club, girl? Check the note section of this episode and or go to my Instagram link tree, and there's a direct link there. The biggest lesson I learned from, or go, Kev, from The Big Leap.
I learned a couple, and I don't know how to classify one as bigger than the other. But the biggest one is that it's okay to live your full life. You don't have to shrink it or hide it to appease other people. Mm-hmm. Other people aren't going to necessarily like that, but that's their fault and their responsibility. I'm not going to be able to please everyone. I knew that, but the way it was worded in that book helped a lot to free me from the desire to appease everyone. I just had to know that that's not going to happen. And yeah, those are kind of the big tenets that I learned. Oh, and you're not abandoning people if you're growing past them. Mm-hmm. You are doing what you are meant to do. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't hold yourself back or feel bad because you're attaining things that you worked hard for. And limiting yourself upper limiting yourself, just you really can stunt your growth and sabotage your career. But at least you know why. It's because you feel like you're not deserving of stuff, but you are deserving. I guess that's the best thing. You are deserving of the life that you work hard for, and you should enjoy it and buy a Maserati if you can. But also, one day that payment's going to come in, and you're going to be like, whew, me, huh? Because it's still on the counter right now. I know how much it is, and I know I can put on auto pay. But the actual opening of it and setting it up, I ain't ready.
For real, though. I would say the biggest lesson, I mean, along with everything that Kevin has already said, is just coming to the realization of the upper limit, where it's good and bad, though. I ain't gonna lie to you, okay? Like, listen, it's good. But then every decision, you're like, is this the upper limit? Like, why am I making this decision? Like, am I really, do I deserve to feel this way? Should I be feeling better about this? Like, everything becomes like a whole entire dialogue, and you just be like, girl, just make the decision and move on with your life. But having those discussions, I honestly probably feel like that's probably what led me to this realization yesterday of like imposter syndrome, because you start realizing that you hold on to a narrative and an identity of yourself that can be restrictive to where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
And so being able to identify those and then trying to like break free from them is a whole like process and like the, you know, the learning journey that I'm on. And that's both, you know, very enlightening and fulfilling and also extremely scary.
Yes. And that's part of that book is like, if I don't read this, then I won't know. Mm-hmm. But that's the same mindset of like, if I don't ask a doctor about these symptoms, then I'm not sick.
So like, true.
Yeah, you can take that approach, but you're likely not going to live your life to the fullest as a result. Mm-hmm. There's so much work that has to be done. There's just so much work to be done in life. Lately, I've been feeling like I'm always working on something and I don't have it all right ever. Yeah. You know? And you'd be like, man, I know better and do better. And then you fall into some old habits. And I do want to be clear about something. Reading the book is not an immediate change of mind.
Oh, no.
Those ingrained thoughts are ingrained for a reason. You have repeated this to your mind. You have told yourself you're not worthy. You're not deserving. So you're going to have to unlearn those things as you move forward and into your big leap. So it's just not a quick fix, but it is a jump start. And give you a lot of tools to help you enjoy the next phase of your life.
And I think one of the biggest things that you just said was talking about, like, just because you don't acknowledge them doesn't mean they're not there. Like, just because you don't go to the doctor doesn't mean your body's not sick.
Right.
And I think that's probably one of the hardest things, is a lot of people are fearful of reading this book because they don't want to have that eye-opening experience. Because you do, and listen, you can read it and be like, oh, that was good, and move on. But that's just not the type of person that I am, type of person that Kevin is. Like, once I know something, I'm now accountable to do better because now I'm in the know. And that's the hardest part, is like, now I got to do the work, you know? And honestly, it's a lifelong journey. Like, all of this growth and evolution and change and all of it, it's a lifelong journey. I'm not quite sure. And I don't mean this as a discouraging way. I don't ever think that I will arrive. I feel like I'll just always be on the path.
Peace be the journey.
Peace be the... Where's that from?
Cool Runnings. But it's not a destination. It's a journey. You know, I don't think you'll ever get...
I don't know why I thought this was like super deep.
No. I just seen Cool Runnings a lot. Peace be that journey.
And Tallulah. What does it mean?
Huh?
And what does it mean?
What does peace be the journey mean? I don't know. They just said that.
Why'd you say it? What did you mean for it?
My thing is, you have to enjoy the journey.
Oh, okay.
You know, like...
I feel like Miley Cyrus would have been a better quotable there than the peace be the journey. It's not
the climb?
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Well,
that's
how does it go? It's not the journey, it's the climb. It's not the other side.
I wanna get there. It's the climb.
But what's before that?
I don't know.
It's not the journey, it's the climb.
Only want to be the white girl singing. My daddy's Billy Ray. I use black people for a hip hop. Then I'll go and run away. Always going to be another mountain.
What, girl?
You just went past the lyrics. Oh, genius. They tell you what it means.
Okay, there's always going to be another mountain.
It's always going to want to make it move. Always going to be an uphill battle. Sometimes I'm going to have to lose. Ain't about how fast I get there.
Ain't about what's waiting on the other
side. It's the climb.
There. I actually thought she said something else. But the point is, it's about the journey. And not like, right, what's waiting on the other side, meaning it's not about the destination or about the prize on the other end. It's about, you know.
Peace be the journey. You know, the thing about the big leap is you like, it's about having the balls to live your life.
It is about having the balls to live your
but
life.
But you don't want your balls to be hairy. You want your balls to, let me show you mine.
That was funny.
Listen, Manscaped keeps my balls clean and smooth. You don't want your balls to be the civil rights movement. You don't want them to be black power. You want them to be smooth and shapely. Yeah, they look bigger. They look bigger when there ain't no more shrubbery around them. They be looking heavy.
I'm trying not to laugh.
But listen, fellas, the Manscaped new product alert. The Weed Whacker and Ear Nose Trimmer is the latest in Manscaped. Of course they're going to take up care of your balls, but you also have your nose and your ear hair. Nobody wants to see that.
The older you get, the longer them nose hairs get and the longer them ear hairs get.
Yeah, and women, they might be checking you out, but they see nose and ear hair, they are out of there.
And we've aged you 10 years.
Oh, they're like, oh, he got, you know, unkempt nose hair, ear hair. He's not going to get it in my coochie. I'm going to keep it to myself. I mean, you don't want that to happen. And Manscaped is going to keep you in the game with your balls, your nose, and your ears. My wife is a big fan of my balls.
Cleanly shaven.
But she likes them clean. So I keep them clean. I keep my Manscaped right in the shower. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Weed Whacker. The nose ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. The premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses 9,000 RPM motor power, 360-degree rotary dual blade system. Its intelligently contour design enhances trimming experience, and it is waterproof, which makes it easy operation and cleaning. Manscaped is making whacking your weeds a time to look forward to, delivering maximum confidence while providing hygiene. Yes, you'll get a replacement blade every 3 months to keep your weed whacking time clean and enjoyable. Look, fellas, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. It's time to upgrade your Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker.
But hold on. Before you go into the offer, I just want to say really quickly, number one, it's waterproof. So that means, men, you can do this while you're in the shower. Okay, so it's really, really simple, really, really easy. Number two, the other really nice thing about it is I don't know what type of technology this blade has, but you don't get razor bumps.
Razor bumps suck.
Yeah, they do suck. And in sensitive private areas, they suck worse.
The most.
And so that's one of the things that are really nice. I say all that to say that the holiday season is coming up and you need to know these important facts, okay, about the Manscaped razor situation.
Yeah.
So you know what to ask your partner for the holiday season, okay? These are all important things you need to know.
Yes.
Get yourself together.
Before you get jingle bells, get your jingle balls and your nose and your ear.
All the things.
Get yourself together, man.
Get it together.
What are you, rugged man? Nobody wants that.
Male grooming is on the rise.
Yes.
Male grooming is on the rise. Be ahead of the curve, man. Be ahead of the curve.
Right now, you can get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOVEHOUR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the promo code LOVEHOUR. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds.
All right.
Now back to the show.
Thank you, Manscaped, for sponsoring the podcast. This is from A. Nicole, or no, that's Nichelle. I got a question that I think you've answered before, but I need to be reminded. How did you come to the stage where you knew you needed to become Melissa 2.0? We're assuming. I keep seeing signs for me to move forward, then signs that I should stay. How do I move on to better myself?
Stand back and stand by.
Listen.
Good boy stand up.
For me, I think it came down to, honestly, I have said this before. I get tired of myself. I get tired of being and showing up differently than the way that I want to show up. Like always showing up as me instead of showing up as the better version of me.
You get tired of yourself?
Girl, Kev.
Ah, man.
Shut up. you just get tired. And then once you realize that you have, a lot of times I feel like we feel victim to our circumstances, not realizing that we created them ourselves. So we have the power to change them. So if I don't want to continue to show up as I am, if I want my circumstances to be different, if I want to create a brand or whatever it is that I want to do, if I want to step out on faith, well, girl, just do it. Like,
go do it.
Yeah, just do
it. So what happens when that happens? Are you, do you be like in internal turmoil when you're like, dang it, I should have said or done that?
I mean, when I don't do it? Yes.
Okay.
There are lots of times where conversations are had, I'm like, I should have said this and I didn't. And then later on, it's like, you should have said that. Now you see why you should have and you didn't. And now you're upset with yourself. We gave an example. I can't give that because we haven't talked about this. I was going to talk about the house.
The
when I signed that contract and immediately knew. No, the
house
is
so many. There's so much with the house, always with us. We talked about it though.
No, this.
Oh, no, we didn't.
Yeah. So the point is, there have been many, there have been many instances in my life, even more recently, where I have known to do better because I have a lot of head knowledge, but I don't always do better. And so I've gotten to a point where I have to don't look back and do the shoulda, coulda, woulda dance. Do it. Just
do it.
Just
do
it.
You gonna do it.
And so that's how I knew. I literally, and there are no, I don't think that if you're receiving signs that you should stay the same.
That's your old mind reminding you.
I think that's your comfort zone.
Comfort zone be talking big.
Yeah, I think that's your comfort zone because your comfort, it's easy. Like we were just talking about how much work it is to evolve and grow and challenge yourself and to constantly be trying to go against your, you know, the easy disposition that you have. That's a simple life. That's an easy life. But to be doing things and trying to grow and evolve and better yourself, that's much harder. It's less passive. This is an active journey.
Yeah.
Okay. It requires a lot of brain cells, a lot of self-talk, a lot of inner work. These are things that, listen, you'd be tired at the end of the day, okay? I'd be tired. I don't want to do all this. I don't know if I answered that question. You feel like we did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think a thing you said, and we said it earlier and you said it again, it's not a straight, like, you turn your mind off and now every time you're supposed to say something, you do. You're still going to have moments where you're like, man, dang. Tom Brady is an amazing quarterback. He's been for a long time. He still throws interceptions.
Right.
He still be trying stuff and still be like, dang, you intercepted that?
Right.
He still misses throws. So he might be the greatest quarterback ever played, arguably. You know, LeBron still misses shots, still turns the ball over. It's going to be a constant battle to become the best version of yourself.
Right.
But you should always be working and not just giving up and be like, well, I'm going to just stay.
Yes. Chloe, how do you pronounce his last name? Rinsky J?
Man, people be having some names. I feel like Webby. Y'all got some. This is Charlamagne. Charlamagne.
Is there something you have learned, realized from being married that you wish you knew when you first got married? Any advice for newlyweds? My first and foremost advice, we always used to talk about, you know, nothing saying. So I'll let you say that.
No. Okay.
No, I'm going to say something different.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. The advice that I would say first is to worry about yourself.
Little girl, so funny.
Yes.
Worry about yourself.
Worry about yourself. Literally, work on you.
Yeah.
And I'm talking mentally, emotionally, sexually, financially, like, be able to present and show up in your relationship whole. There should be no one that you are looking to come in and fill any pieces of your life. You should come in as a whole person.
Fill up one piece would be good. So it's just one little, park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage.
But you really should be, but also be able to say, I don't like Big Macs because this garage is too little. So actually go to the rear instead. Like, I don't mean it like that.
Hey-o, I know. Butt stuff.
The whole point was the garage, and then by the time I got there, it became butt stuff. But the point is that you are so in tune with yourself that you recognize that the garage ain't it for me. The back door is.
You did it again.
I know. I was here now. I committed.
So the thing is, I agree with that. And this is why I feel like the love, you're cold. I can see your goosebumps. Yeah, the love hour is good even for singles.
I need to shave.
Oh. The love hour is good even for singles because if you go to a restaurant and you say, hey, what's good here? And they're like, oh, do you like spicy or no? You should be able to say, I don't like spicy food. Mm-hmm. Or I don't eat red meat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to bring that level of knowledge of yourself to a relationship. Right. Hey, I'm interested in this. I like, and more than just like, I like long walks. You know, like, you should be able to explicitly explain, here's my love language. Here's, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, not in like an interview form, but as those conversations come up, you should be able to articulate what's important to you. You should be able to tell someone how you like to be loved, how you receive love, how you interpret love, what's a gas and break for you, and then what are your problem areas? So that way that person can properly love you. Absolutely. You know, like the songwriter say, teach me how to love. I think, it was Lil Wayne.
Oh, I was like, I don't know that.
Yeah,
one.
I had a love. I had a love. But anyway, I think that, and then when you get into that marriage, you know, sexually, you can say, I like this. I like two pops and a little nip of play, not too much. Ice, but no heat. Whatever that case is. But otherwise, your partner is trying to guess and figure out all that stuff or doing it in real time. Knowing your family history, how that affects you.
Absolutely.
Like in my family, we talked loud and we didn't go to sleep on anger. Melissa's family, it wasn't the same. Right. So I needed to understand that my family approach wasn't going to be the same for her. And I needed to allow her room for that as well.
Yeah.
I'm about to sneeze.
Bless you.
But all that stuff is important, even in the dating game. Be more important in the relationship and even more important in the marriage. And also, as you change, being able to communicate that with your partner.
Yeah.
You know, that's equally as important.
Were you going to say your last little bit?
I feel like we give that advice all the time.
So you wanted to give something else?
No, I can't think of anything.
So you don't want to say it at all?
Go back to the question.
Advice for newlyweds or people that are dating?
I guess I would just say don't try to base your relationship on anybody else or your sex on anybody else's sex or what you saw in movies or your parents. Let it be what it is. Here's one I would do. Take your partner's word for their word.
Yeah.
And as partners, you have to also, you know, me and Melissa were working on this a while ago. She was like, Kevin, if I say something, just take me at my word. Mm-hmm. Don't try to think for me beyond what I said. Mm-hmm. And her responsibility, and she said, my responsibility is to tell you how I really feel.
Right.
Because I know you're going to take me at my word. Because I used to have a big problem with that. Like, mm-hmm. girl, you say this, but it looks like you ain't really down with that. Or I feel like you might not be. She's like, I know I said.
Yeah.
So take your partner at your word. And as a partner, be a person of your word.
Last question. My name is Bianca, and I absolutely love the Love Hour, and I'm a part of the Patreon and the book club. I just watched the latest episode, You Are Worth It, and I would like to ask if Melissa could speak more on this topic. I would specifically love to know what regimen of affirmation was utilized on the journey and what she did and what did she feel was the turning point while on the journey. The first thing is, the regimen of the affirmation. So the affirmations I would literally say to myself, the I am worth it as is, without change, without exception, daily.
Mm-hmm.
Like I quite literally did this every single day.
Yep.
I don't remember if it was like 45 days or 60 days or whatever, but I literally did it daily until I just felt. And I, again, it's so hard for me to like really articulate. First of all, it was so long ago, but it's really hard for me to articulate when I just knew. But I knew that I got it when it dawned on me, and not like as part of like all of, I wasn't like I mapped out, I'm going to do this campaign, this campaign, this campaign, this campaign. They all just kind of like this is what I feel like I should do next. Once I got to that point, that's when I knew I got it and I was able to move on. Mm-hmm. So the very next campaign after that was my Love On campaign where I got into makeup. Like literally that was, and it just felt like the natural evolution of it, because what I felt on the outside, I was now determined to look like on the inside. I mean, what I felt on the inside, I was now determined to match what I felt like on the outside. Yep. Meaning, okay, Melissa, you really do feel good, girl. You really do feel like you are worth it, but now your clothes don't match that internal feeling. Now your face doesn't match that internal feeling. Now your hair doesn't match that internal feeling. Let's have all of these things be on one accord. That's when I knew I got it and I was able to move on. And it wasn't just, like, for all I know, it could have been 47 days. I really have no idea, and I, like, should make up something, but I don't want to do you like that and say, at 60 days, I got it, because that's not how it worked for me. It was just something that I was like, oh, girl, you keep telling yourself you work it, but these clothes are raggedy, so let's change that. That's when I knew I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Did you want to add something to that? You remember from that time?
No.
Why are you looking like this? I don't understand.
I'm just listening.
Oh. It seems like you're trying to give me more and I'm not getting it.
No.
The turning point in the journey for me, like after I did all of these things, what capped it off for me, and this is a quote by, I think Coco Chanel is a woman that cuts her hair, changes her life. I feel like that's her quote. I cut my hair. So the very first, not the first time, but one, like the second time I think I rocked a pixie was after I did all of those campaigns and I was approaching 30 and I was like, okay, girl, the only way to put all these pieces together is to cut your hair.
Short and bomb.
Yeah. And so I cut my hair and I feel like that's when I really felt like I can own all the pieces of that journey.
Do you think you'll ever grow your hair back?
I did it like 2 years ago.
I mean, was it as long as it used to be in high school?
Yeah. When I was like natural-ish. You don't remember? And I had that blonde. You don't remember.
When it was super low? I mean, super long?
I mean, it wasn't that long, but like, oh no, that's when I was pregnant. So maybe it was longer than 2 years ago. I feel like it was 2 years ago.
In LA?
Yeah, yeah. Right after I had these braids. Oh, no. Right after I took them braids out is when I cut it, actually.
Is it right? Oh, is that a wig?
Mm-mm. Here we go. That's when it was grown out. There's a very specific.
It was long in the front. It wasn't long in the back.
No, because I was. It was more like a. Shoot.
No, I hate when that happens.
It was more like a bob. See here. It was grown out.
But the back was still short.
The back was like right here. It was like probably right under my earlobe. This is what I was looking for.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I do remember that.
Yeah. I had another one.
I remember what concert we were going to. Right there.
This is what I was looking for. So like it was, I guess, shaved in the bottom part.
That's what I'm thinking of.
But it was like a really cute bob.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Mm-hmm. It was healthy than a mug, too.
That was natural? Brazilian blowout?
It was a Brazilian blowout. Oh, it was super cute,
too. When was that?
That was in, I'm probably off that picture now, 2017, 3 years ago.
What year? What month?
August.
Dang.
So, anyway, the point is, I mean, maybe I'll go back. I have no idea, but for right now, I have no interest, but I also like to change up my hair. So, who knows? The point is that once I change my hair.
Shaved side?
I would never do that. I actually don't recommend it. If you're,
I haven't seen it that much in LA anymore.
I just saw a girl the other day, yesterday, at an appointment, and I was like, "Ooh, girl, when you get sick of that, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry for you." Myself personally, it's not the style that I recommend for anybody because that grow out is the worst. Okay, like it is the worst. But I think that's when it all came together for me was that part for me.
Got it.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
Nope.
We finished the last ad. Okay. Thank you guys so much for these questions today on the Love Hour podcast. We hope that you enjoyed them, and we will be back with whatever the topic will be next week. Until the next video.
Bye. Bye.